All right, Habakkuk chapter number 3. We're going to read this whole chapter. There's not a whole lot here. And then give you, kind of goes along with being in November. And I always try to take November and just thank the Lord for so many things. And He's so good to us. But Habakkuk chapter number 3, we're going to read this. The Bible says, verse number 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you this morning so thankful, Lord, and for all that you do. Thank you for just being everything that we need. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, God, I pray that you guide my words. Lord, I just want to be an encouragement to the folks here this morning and just a reminder of your goodness and your greatness, Lord. And I pray that I would honor you with everything I say. I pray that it would just be something that we can take and remember and think about this week. Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was working on our light pole, some of our lights this week, and getting some of the other light poles ready to put up. And I got thinking, and I even thought about it this morning, you know, daylight savings time, if everybody, you can see the sun come up. That's one thing I do love about winter is the sunrises. Beautiful. I mean, I don't know that any other time of year you have as pretty a sunrise as what it is in the winter. And you don't have to, I mean, I hope you're up by sunrise this time of year. But it's a beautiful time of year as far as the sunrise. And I've been working on our light situation some, and we're trying to put some lights in different areas and do things like that. And I got thinking, you know, how much time mankind has spent in developing and in engineering and in putting up lights, all right? And you think about all the new breakthroughs. LEDs are the newest, Now, there may be something newer. That's the newest I'm aware of. You know, that everybody's going to, that, you know, they're trying to develop these LEDs and trying to get them where they'll put out more lights and more lumens and different things like that. And we, you know, at night, you know, I'm here, I was here quite a bit this week during the night trying to get the bus fixed and stuff. And, you know, that when dusk comes, the lights come on. And it's, you know, like you think, oh man, it worked. And then you look at it compared to everything around. And you've got these two little lights that are illuminating a, you know, said area. All right. And I always carry this is my flashlight. I use this for everything. It's always with me, if possible. And I used it 10 hours probably this week working on that bus. But you know, one little light, and you think in the darkness it's really bright. But then when God, every morning, without fail, God says, "Let there be light," and the darkness just goes away, and you can't even compare. I mean, there is no comparison to what the best light that mankind has come up with is no comparison to what God does every single morning. And many times I got thinking about that, and many times we're so influenced by the outside influences, all right? And what I'm going to talk about is this morning is reason to rejoice, reason to rejoice. And God is, and God should be, our reason to rejoice. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and I always try to take the month of November, and you look back over the past year and all that God has allowed us to do and all that God's allowed, given to us. And, you know, I know we live in America, and I know we're blessed, and many times we take for granted the blessings that we're given each and every day. You know, the things that most of the world never will experience, and we experience them every day. But so many times, those outside influences is what gives us a reason to rejoice, all right? And so we're going to look at the scripture very specifically. I want you to draw your attention to verse number 17 of Habakkuk chapter number 3. And it's interesting here, verse number 17 gives us kind of a dire situation here, okay? A dire predicament, if you would. The Bible says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." Now, in an economical situation, this is next to disaster, okay? The fig tree didn't blossom, all right? So there is no prospect of fruit later on, okay? So there's no prospect of fruit later on. There's no fruit in the vines. There's nothing right now in the vine, okay? So there is no prospect of future. There is no prospect of, I mean, we don't have even the immediate, all right? The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. They've lost, you know, everybody's lost their what they had. So it's not only the future is looking bleak, the very immediate is looking bleak, the flock is cut off from the fold, so they've lost what they would have had in their bank accounts, all right? They've lost all of that, all right? The money market has crashed. Everything at this point in this one verse sums up an economic disaster in one verse. Okay, if you put this verse in America today, it would not be a pretty situation. Okay, so there shall be no herd in the stalls is the last thing. But then verse number 18 is interesting. The Bible says yet. So the word yet basically means despite what has been said previously. So yet, Habakkuk says, "I will rejoice in the Lord." Despite all this stuff that's going on, despite all the darkness that it seems, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. All right, now, I'm going to look at this because so many times I know in my life, we rejoice because of external influences, okay? When something good happens, it makes us happy, okay? We're in football season. I don't watch football. I haven't watched football in probably 3 or 4 years, okay? I'll watch maybe a highlight here and there. Honestly, I just can't stand their attitude. That's the biggest thing with me. And it's not even, I mean, that was before the whole standing or kneeling for the flag. Their cockiness, and it just irks me. But you see, we went past the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We was up in Indy on Wednesday, and we went through Speedway because I had to go. Anyway, we went through Speedway, and that's the first time, honestly, I've ever been past Indianapolis Motor Speedway. First time. And we saw the grandstands. I mean, we went right past, and we saw the grandstands. And, you know, you'll have not just at that location, but you'll have millions of people watching on a television, not just, you know, the Motor Speedway, but you'll have them watching football. Today, millions of people are watching football games today. Millions. And they will, this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until next Sunday when their team plays again, they're weak. There are thousands of people whose week will be determined by what their, which they have no correlation to their, but their team, how their team does today. Okay? I mean, they'll get excited. They'll paint their faces. I mean, you got nuts out there that are, you know, they're not wearing shirts and it's, you know, as cold as it is out here. Because why? Because they love their team, all right? And they're painting their faces and they're acting like absolute idiots, all right? Why? Because they love their team. But they rise and they fall on how their team does. Their whole mood, I mean, for the rest of the week is a sour mood because their team lost a football game, okay, today. Well, you know what that is? That's an external, they're being controlled by an external influence. They're rejoicing. What does it mean to rejoice? Rejoice means to jump for joy. All right? It's not just being happy. We don't use the word rejoice anymore. When's the last time you heard somebody say rejoice? We don't use that word, all right? But the Bible uses it a lot. All right? And so rejoice means to jump for joy, to make joyful, to gladden. Not just to make joyful or to gladden, but more specifically to animate, all right? So it's not just the fact of making somebody happy. It's the fact of making you so happy that you do something, all right? It means to jump for joy. I've watched people, my wife's family are big Buckeye fans, okay? Buckeyes, all right? Go Buckeyes. And so it's funny, I've never been into sports as far as watching a team. I don't get all excited. I remember one time somebody invited us over to watch the Super Bowl, and I think the Colts were playing. And I don't even remember where it was. It was after we got married, but they invited us over, and everybody's sitting on the couches, and we're just kind of sitting there kind of along for the ride because we're not really interested in that stuff. And, you know, they would be jumping up and yelling at the refs and telling them the ref, you know, like the ref can hear them. They're telling the ref that he got the call wrong and he's wrong and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just looking at these people and it's like, wow, that's amazing. You know, number one, they can't hear you. So you can scream as much as you want, but they can't hear. But what is that? Or they score a touchdown and they're jumping up. Yeah, we scored it. You know, first of all, it's not we. You have nothing to do with that touchdown being scored, okay? Second of all, but what is that? That shows they're rejoicing. It made them so happy, it brought them to an action, all right? And we sometimes, you see people do that with different things. Guys will kill a deer. Guys will kill a nice deer. And they'll they're excited. All right, they'll do it like this. What is that? They're rejoicing. All right, so rejoicing isn't just being happy. Rejoicing is bringing you to an action an animation. All right, it's not just a heart thing. It's bringing out something. It's an excitement. All right, so there is that. That's what rejoicing is. But so many times we're controlled by outside influences. You know, a day goes good at work, or something good happens at work, and we're controlled by that. All right, but if something bad happens, that also controls us, and we're down in the dumps for a couple days because of some outside influence that honestly, most of the time, you have no control over. And you're being controlled by that. You see so many people that are, they live and die, or they live and they breathe on outside things that affect them. And I don't believe that's the way God wants us to live. Okay, if you look at this situation in verse number 17 that Habakkuk is talking about, okay, God's judgment has come. And so for God's people, you know what, you know, okay, I don't know. Was I happy with all the election results? No. All right. Now, I think Indiana, for the most part, you know, except for if you look at where Indiana didn't, you know, they, you know, it's the cities. Northern Indiana, you know, Indianapolis area. All right. But for the most part, Indiana, I think, did a fairly decent job voting. All right. But you look at, well, we don't have the House anymore. All right. Okay. Is that going to determine my joy in life? All right? Because, well, you know, now what's going to happen in our country? Dr. Jorgensen made a very good point last Sunday morning. I hope you caught that. And he referenced, I think, Abraham. But, you know, we're not citizens here. We're just passing through. And he brought it very down to a very basic, you know, if a mayor gets elected in a town that I'm just passing through, why do I care? It doesn't affect me, okay? Well, Brother Chad, it does affect you, all right, for a very short time. I may not like the law. I may not like this. I may not like that. But is that going to dictate the way I live my life as far as am I rejoicing? Or is this, am I letting this rob me of my joy? Okay, because so many Christians live a life where you're not joyful, where we're not happy. Well, you don't understand what's happened to me. Whoa. It's not about what's happened to you. It's about who lives in you. All right? That's who we're supposed to be joyful about. All right? It's not about, you know, being depressed that the parking lot's lights went out. It's about being joyful that the sun came up in the morning. Okay? Does that make sense? Because we get so focused on the parking lot lights. Well, Brother Chad hasn't put the parking lot light up. You realize that God just brought the sun up this morning, and it is a beautiful morning out there. I really, honestly, I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. I really wanted to be in a deer stand this morning. This is one of those mornings. I'm driving the bus, and I'm seeing bucks chasing does while I'm driving the bus. All right, I'm like, man, this would be nice. But on the other hand, I'm really glad I'm in a warm building because it's rather cold out there. All right, but listen, are you controlled by the little things that you influence your bubble? Or are you rejoicing in the God that has given us everything? All right, so we're going to look at this in the Bible. I'm going to take you through some things. I'm going to show you some different things that we need to rejoice. Reasons. That's what I'm talking about this morning. What's your reason for rejoicing? Is it because you had a good week? Well, I didn't have a good week. Are you still rejoicing? All right, because God is enough. God in and of himself is enough for us to rejoice in. Okay, it doesn't take an outside influence for me to, it does sometimes, but it shouldn't. Okay, I'm made of the same junk everybody else is. It doesn't take, well, I just didn't, you know, things didn't go right for me this week. Well, okay, I understand. And things sometimes don't go right for me either. But God in and of himself is enough for me to rejoice about. Okay? Let's look at this. First of all, what's a reason to rejoice? We need to rejoice because of God's goodness even through trials. Because of God's goodness even through trials. We looked at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. This is a trial. Habakkuk 3:17 is a trial. I would consider it an economic trial. Okay? It's when, you know, the crops don't do good. It's when, you know, your business isn't doing good. It's when this is an economic trial. But Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. So we see that. We're going to flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 41. So you're going to go back. Isaiah chapter number 41. We're going to look at verse number 15. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong. I was on the wrong word. Isaiah 41. We're going to look at verse number 16. Isaiah 41, verse 16. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. You know, when you need something, this is what he's talking about right here. When the poor and the needy, they thirst for water and they have none, then God says, all right, here you go. What is that? But do you see what it said in verse number 16? Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shout glory in the Holy One of Israel. All right, so we see that in Isaiah chapter 41. Go to Joel. Joel chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2. It's after Hosea. Joel chapter number 2. Bible says in verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. If you would read the first part of the Joel chapter number 2, it's talking about there is some judgment in there. All right? And God's judging them somewhat. All right? But then God's favor comes back. And it gives us reason to rejoice. You know, no matter what, all right, happens in our land, what happens in your life, God still is the reason that we should rejoice. You know, no matter, well, Brother Chad, we don't have what we need. Well, I think most Americans have everything they need. We may not have what we want, but we have what we need. Okay, I don't think there's any American that doesn't have what they need. Okay, sad to say, our government has seen to that. All right, you know, this is a side note, there are times when we prohibit God from judging people because of bad decisions that they've made. And we don't, it's like Pastor says, we don't ever let the prodigal son ever get to the pig pen, all right? And I'm all for helping people, but some people don't want help, all right? They just want a handout. Now, that's a side note. But, you know, God has given us everything, and as his children, he's given us everything. Even if we had nothing, well, Brother Chad, what if I lost my house? Then you can rejoice in the Lord just like everybody that doesn't own a house in all these other countries that still love God and that still serve God and that still have found a reason to rejoice in the Lord. You know, we rejoice in the things that we have, but so many times we don't rejoice in the Lord himself. All right? I think if God took everything from us, and I pray that he doesn't, I wouldn't like it. But I think if God took everything from us, it would cause us as Christians to rely more on Him. I guarantee it. When you didn't know, you know, none of us pray, most of us don't pray for our daily bread. We pray that God blesses the food that we have in our pantry, but we don't pray for our daily bread. Okay? Most people in this room, you don't have to pray. I'm not saying everybody, but most people in this room, you don't really have to pray a whole lot that your needs will be met. You've got a bank account to do that for you. Oh, if something happens, or I can go sell this and I'll be okay. What if there's nothing left to sell? What if there's no way that you can get food for your family? That's when it really comes down to, do you rejoice in the things that you have, or do you rejoice in the God that you have? Okay, that's the difference. All right, so we see that. 1 Peter chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're talking about why should we rejoice, a reason to rejoice. Rejoice because of God's goodness, even in trials. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to look at verse number 7 and 8, familiar verses. Let's start in verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. You know what? That's what we're talking about. We love what we see so many times. But what if God takes away everything that you see? You know, that's what he's talking about. Manifold temptations. When God takes away everything that you see, that you love, all right? That's when in verse number 8, whom having not seen, ye love. You still love them even though you haven't seen them, okay? In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know the difference between us and a lost person and a lost family when they die? Okay? We rejoice in the Lord because we know what God, even though we can't see him, even though we can't understand his purposes, we rejoice in the God that we trust in. The world's just brokenhearted that they can't love what they used to love. All right? That's the difference. All right? But why should we have a... What's a reason that we should rejoice? First of all, we rejoice because of God's goodness through trials. Second of all, we rejoice because of God's holiness. We rejoice because of God's holiness. Now, you say, Brother Chad, that's not as applicable as rejoicing. You know, it's very black and white. And there's a lot of illustrations of rejoicing because of God's goodness through trials. But what about God's holiness? I'm glad I serve a holy God. A holy God. Not a God that is, you know, I don't serve Muhammad, okay? Muhammad was a man, all right? He had a prophet, all right? And you know, because he was a man, there was sin there, okay? I don't serve our president. He's a man, all right? I don't serve any of these other religion. I serve, hey, but you're a Baptist. No, I'm a Bible believer. Now, Oliver B. Green, if you ever listen to Oliver B. Green, Oliver B. Green says it all the time. He says, I'm a Baptist because, I'm not going to say exactly like he says it. He's like, I'm a Baptist because they most closely associate with the doctrines of the Bible, is basically what he says. But he said, the moment that the Baptist leave the Bible, I leave the Baptist. He says that. You know, and I believe that, okay? Now, I've been brought up, this is all I've ever known, okay? I've never known anything else. But I believe what, you know, and listen, study to show thyself approved unto God, all right? If you're a bobblehead Christian, you know what happens with bobblehead Christians? You get under somebody else that starts telling you something else, and you're still a bobblehead Christian, okay? We don't need bobblehead Christians. We need people that know their Bible And when something doesn't sound right, go check it out. Okay, I've probably said things that aren't quite right, okay, before, right? But you know the only reason that you'll know, instead of just shaking your head yes, is if you know it for yourself, okay? But I believe the Bible. I believe that God is holy. Okay, I'm not here to, honestly, I love our preacher, okay? But the moment that our preacher leaves a holy God and a holy Bible, there's a separation. You know what truth does? Truth unifies. And when everybody's following the same truth, it unifies people. But when people deviate from a truth, it separates people. Why do people leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Okay? Well, there is a separation. Okay? They either stop believing something that we believe, okay? Which is, okay, look at it. And I love God's truth. If God looked at my heart today, okay, I honestly don't get upset with people. Maybe that's just my nature. Okay? I'm not vindictive towards people. Okay? That's just not me. But there is sometimes a separation. There is a separation. But what is it that most people don't like about Blessed Hope Baptist Church? It comes to one word. Holiness. Holiness. What do they not like about Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Standards. They're just hard-nosed. I don't think that when I stand before God in heaven, that God's going to say, Chad, I just wish you weren't so holy. I know. I know me. I know that's not what God's going to say. I don't think that we can be, you know, we have what they call the holiness. There's a holiness church, okay, basically. Listen, I think that they're trying to get to heaven the wrong way. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not my, listen folks, it's not that, there again, what's a reason to rejoice? Because of my holiness? No, because of God's holiness. I'm saved by the gift, by the grace of God, okay? Not my own holiness. Let's go to some scripture. I keep rambling. I didn't tell you where. Psalms 97, did I tell you that? I'm sorry. I apologize. When God looks at me, when I stand in heaven before God, okay, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? He does not look, listen folks, he does not look at my good works. Because when I got saved, there's a word called impute, okay, imputation. And when I got saved, not only did Jesus Christ wash away my sins, but God took the holiness of Jesus Christ and put it on my account. That's why I rejoice in the holiness of God. It's not by my works, but by grace. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. Okay? There is nothing good in me, and I know that. All right? It's only by God's holiness that I can go to heaven. All right, and people, well, they're just got too many standards. I don't know that we could have too many standards. There's probably things we're not strict enough on. Just being honest. Well, you do what? Yeah, I do. Why? Well, maybe it's just I'm trying to honor a holy God that has imputed his holiness towards me. Psalm chapter 97, look at verse number 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because of his holiness. Without God's holiness, folks, listen, none of us would go to heaven. None of us. Without his holiness. Because it took a spotless lamb to pay for our sin debt. And without that spotless lamb, none of us would go to heaven. So I rejoice in God's holiness. Isaiah chapter 61, we were just there. Not in 61, but we were in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 61. Look at verse number 10. Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me. This is amazing. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What has God done? He said, here, not only do I take your sins away, but you get to wear the robe of God's holiness. Let me ask you, do we wear the robe of God's holiness? And do we wear it, I hate to say proudly, but are you ashamed of the shirt that you wear? You know, if you had the word, you know, people talk about playing for a team. Are you proud of the team you play for? Are you ashamed of it? Because we wear the robe of God's righteousness. All right, do we represent it well, or are we a disgrace to the team? Something to think about. Rejoice. Why should we rejoice? First of all, we rejoice because of God's goodness through trials. We rejoice because of God's holiness. Thirdly, and lastly, we rejoice because of God's consistency. We rejoice because of God's consistency. You know, I'm glad that God's faithful. I'm glad that every morning the sun comes up. I'm glad that everything that God says he will do, he will do. I'm glad of that, okay? When God says, I'm glad that God punishes sin. I'm less glad when God punishes sin when it's my sin. But I am still glad that God punishes sin, okay? I am glad that God rewards good. God does the same thing all the time. God never changes. He's always the same. I rejoice because of God's consistency. Remember, folks, I can rejoice because the God that brought the sun up this morning, even on, the day after the election, okay? Listen, I can rejoice because the same God that brought the sun up the morning of the election is the same God that brought the sun up the morning after the election. He's the same God. He never changes. You know, the same God that brought brought the sun up today is the same God that brings the sun up tomorrow if it's cloudy and you can't even see it. But you know the sun is still there. And even though you can't see God at some points in your life, he's still there. And he's still got the sun, and he's still got all that for us. I rejoice in the consistency of God. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Actually, go back to Philippians 3. Go to Philippians 3. We'll just go in order. I love Philippians is kind of like Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 is kind of like a pastor's sermon. It says, finally, my brethren. And then he goes for two more chapters telling them finally about, that's half the book. Finally, in closing, my brethren. All right, Philippians 3 verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 4, Bible says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. Always. Doesn't matter if the sun's shining. Remember, the sun is always shining. It may not be shining on your side of the world, but it is always shining. And you know, I have yet to see the earth stop its rotation. Okay? And you know what that means? That every day that we will have sunshine, it may be clouded over, but there will be sunshine. I know that every day that God loves me, that's a consistent, well, God just doesn't love me anymore. Whoa, God still loves you, all right? God still loves me, and God still has that for us. Many times we just don't see it the way we want to see it, all right? But I rejoice in the consistency of God. Why can I rejoice always? Well, Brother Chad, you just don't understand. I can't rejoice always. Yeah, you can. Why? Because God is always. And if we rejoice not in our external, not in the things that influence us external. You know, I go deer hunting. I've only been twice, I think, this year. And I can go and I can sit in a tree stand and freeze to death. And I can either be down all day because I didn't see anything or I didn't get a shot, or I can rejoice because I got to see the sun come up and I got to hear the birds and I got to be able to see and I'm cold. Well, Brother Chad, why do you mean you're cold? Because if I'm cold, that means I can feel something. Okay? I can listen, what are we rejoicing? Are we rejoicing in the things that influence us from the outside, or are we rejoicing in the God that lives inside? If you can rejoice in that, you can be like Habakkuk. Despite, in verse 17, everything's going wrong. But verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help us to rejoice. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be a one-day event, but that we would just spend this month and our whole lives, God, just rejoicing in what you've done for us, what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.